It looks more. I think it is. It's a smaller clock. I don't know why they got another clock. Yeah. I think it's just.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Good to be in the Lord's house today. Hope everybody's doing well. I like the temperature change. Amen. It's nice out there. I'm looking forward. I just hope we have a fall. I hope we don't go back to summer again before the year's over with. But I sure appreciate the Lord just takes good care of us. He meets all of our needs. But it's good to see you this morning. If you're visiting with us, we sure appreciate you coming by and just make yourselves at home this morning. We're just simple folk trying to serve a big God. So hope you'll just get in here and just love on the Lord and let the Lord love on you. And just have a good day. And just let the Lord speak to your heart this morning. That's our desire, that God does speak to our hearts today. Listen, I can't do a thing for you. I really can't. I'm just human, just like you are. I'm made out of the same dirt ball that you were made out of. But we have a God.
Amen.
Well, let me back up. I have a God. I don't know who your God is. I have a God that's able. Two of us have a God that's is able to do exceedingly above all that I could ever ask. That's pretty good in itself. But God didn't stop there. He says, I can do better than that, if you can think it. And I think of some weird things, man. But God is so good. As I say, in spite of me, I don't deserve a thing. I really don't. You don't know me like I know me. And I don't know me like God knows me. But God's still good to me, and He loves you. And I'm glad you're here today. Boy, there's such a need in our day to get people to see God. They don't need to see religion. They don't need to see Baptists or this or that. They just need to see God. And that's our desire this morning through His precious word, is to lift up the Lord. So we appreciate you being here this morning. Good to see Brother Mark. Him and Jody, they can't come at the same time, so this one comes one Sunday. No, I'm kidding. She's back out working. Brother Mark come back in for a little bit, so it's good to see him. Good to see all of you this morning. And so just have a good day here in the Lord. Just some quick announcements. Do get you a book. There's not a lot as far as announcements go. Not a lot in there as far as that goes. But I do want to say thank you. I don't know if anybody noticed, but we did have a work day yesterday. I couldn't come here because I still can't work. But I don't take long to tire out. But appreciate all you that came yesterday and got the mulch put out and all that stuff. I don't know what y'all ran out, but John Spade had a nice looking snake on his car this morning. Told we're gonna come with them snake handling churches. And that's a hoe handle or a shovel handle. That's the only kind of snake handling we do. And I don't know who gave that to John, but it looked pretty real when I looked out the window. I thought, that's a good-looking snake out there. Snakes go. But I do want to say thank you to everyone that came out and helped yesterday. Appreciate all that work yesterday. And then, of course, do remember all of our services, of course. Sure hope you'll be back with us tonight. We have service tonight at 6 o'clock. We have prayer rooms at 5:45, so I hope you'll come back. And listen, I promise you, there's nothing on TV that I would want to watch to miss church. There's nothing out in this world that I would want to do to miss church. And let's encourage each other. Just come in, get in here. We're going to look at out of Luke this evening, Lord willing, and this is a great encouragement, I believe, to the believer tonight. So I hope you'll come be part of that this evening. So do remember that. And then, of course, on Wednesday night, we have our midweek service. We have our prayer time, of course, Bible study. We're going to get back in. It might be this Wednesday. I'm still not sure yet. We're going to get back into our Bible study there with the armor of God. Because, listen, if you hadn't figured it out yet, we're at war. And it's not against the Democrats or the Republicans. It's not against, listen, my biggest fight's inside of me. That's where the war goes on. And listen, it's hitting us from every side. So I want to encourage you to be with us on Wednesday night. We do have classes for our children on Wednesday night that have a good group there. So I want to encourage you to bring your young people with you, grandchildren, whoever you can bring. Just come be part of that. So let's just have a good day today. Listen, let's turn everything else off. Let's just let the Lord speak to our hearts today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, then we'll sing a song or two. Father, we sure are thankful, Lord, again, for the ability, God, just to be able to come before you this morning, Lord. And God, we don't come in fear. God, we don't come this morning doubting. Lord, I know this morning that we can call unto you. And you said you'd answer us and show us great and mighty things, Lord. I pray today, God, we'd have a heart today that just calls out. Lord, I know there's needs all over this building. God, there's physical needs, there's financial needs, there's spiritual needs. God, I pray today, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to die to ourselves, God, and realize that there's only one place to find that hope, and that hope is you. God, again, go with us, help us, give us strength today. God, again, I pray that you'll have liberty in this place. And Lord, if there would be somebody here this morning that's lost, maybe here in the sanctuary, God, maybe in one of our children's churches today, God, I pray, God, that they would see you like they've never seen you before. God, they would feel you like they've never felt you before. And God, as you give the invitation to them, each one of them individually, God, that they would heed that call, and God, they would come and bow at your feet, Lord. And God, I know what you'll do. And Lord, I just thank you again for how blessed we are. For it's in your name we do pray and ask. Amen. All right, let's stand this morning.
Okay. All right, let's all stand up, grab your hymnal, turn to number 314. Number 314. Probably one of the best known hymns in the world, Amazing Grace. We're going to sing all four verses all the way through. And so let's sing it out. Here we go.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Here we go. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. praise God, 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 praise God.
Amen. Amen. All right, flip over to number 365. Lost my number there. 365. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. So let's sing. We're going to do the first, the second, one, two, and four. So the first, second, the last verse. Here we go.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just to sin.
Keep singing.
'Neath the healing cleansing flood, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Yeah, I looked up at verse 1 and started instead of verse 2. So if I ever do that, you guys keep singing. Don't stop. Anyway, all right. So here we go. On the last verse, verse number 4.
I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Amen. All right, you can be seated.
Me, you. All right.
Amen. What beautiful songs this morning. Amazing grace. I'm glad that grace isn't just for a few. I'm glad that grace is for whosoever will. Amen. And that grace is to the world. Amen. And I'm thankful for that grace. And that last chorus we sang, praise God, praise God. You know, this morning, the birds woke up. You know what they were doing? They were praising the Lord.
Yeah.
What were you doing when you woke up? Oh, me's and oh, my's, right? Snap, crack, on pop, trying to get up out of the beds. Oh, but how we should praise the Lord. So much God's been good to us. And that last song, do you trust Him? We say we do, but we don't act like we do sometimes. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Preacher, what about this? What about that? That's not trusting the Lord. Trust the Lord is He filtered all that mess out. And just real, me and Brother John was talking this earlier. This excites me at times, not all the time. Sometimes I'll get mad in my flesh and discouraged, but most of the time I'm excited. Why? Preacher, but all these bad things are happening. This means we're getting a little bit closer to home. Won't be long. The Lord's are coming. And it could be today. I hope you sure are ready. Well, preacher, He didn't come yesterday. He won't come today. That's not good logic there. Because one of these days, you're going to be surprised. And I hope you're looking for Him. I hope you're ready for Him to come. Amen. I'm looking. I'm anticipating. But until then, I'm going to abide. I will keep pressing on for the cause of Christ. There's so much work that needs to be done. I told my wife, it usually hits us around July because around camp time, seems like the garden's coming in. There's so many things that we need to be doing. And then we've got a week of camp usually, and it just, you know, just gets us so far behind. Well, that didn't happen this year for us. But that is hit now after COVID. I'm about 10 weeks behind getting things done. But it'll be all right. And this is my daddy's favorite saying, in 100 years it won't matter. So there you go. All right, just real quick, and then Brother Russell's going to come and sing our special this morning. Just some quick prayer requests, of course. The lost. You've seen people this week. You've talked to people this week. You've bumped shoulders with people this week. That if they died, they're not going to heaven like I am. They're going to go to a place called hell. And I hope we have such a burden. I hope it breaks our heart. I hope it causes us to weep, thinking that somebody I say I love, somebody I say I know, maybe even somebody I don't even know, would die and go to hell. That's not the desire of God. The desire of God is that all would be saved. But we know that's not happening in our day, is it? Many today are cutting them off and just not listening, but we still need to be praying for the lost. You remember the church here and the needs here at church? Remember our missionaries, of course? I hope you'll be praying for them. I did get a letter yesterday, or email yesterday, or it's actually about last night, middle of the night. I don't know why he had it sent out that time of night, but one of our missionaries, Brother Buck Woodworth, they were missionaries to Guyana, exactly. I always want to say something about the Guyana. They sent out an email to us last night. They've been praying because of COVID and because of a lot of things going on. They've not been able to get back into the country. And he says it appears that it's not going to happen. Seems like that door has shut. He says instead of it getting better, it's getting worse. And they're just not able to get in back to where that country. And it seems like that door is shut. And they prayed and sought the Lord. And they, you know, says they feel like they're just taking money for no reason. And so they want us to drop them as a missionary for this time until they figure out what God wants them to do. I'm sure Brother Buck and his wife are busy doing something. I know they're not just out sitting around. But, again, just pray for them. And again, that means we'll be losing one of our missionaries there. But there's plenty of them out there that need some help. So we'll be praying and asking the Lord. And we can do more missions. I grew up on a dairy farm. You know how you get more milk? You have more cows. That's the only way to get more milk is to have more cows. We could do more missions if we had some more. I'm not going to call you a cow. But if we had some more help, we could do a lot more. So you pray about that. Try to see what the Lord have you do with that. We do faith promise giving around here. We don't beat you up. It's giving. You by faith say, I'm going to give this much. So you pray about that and put it in the fishing bucket back there and just see what the Lord does there. So remember our missionaries. Again, a lot of sickness still around about us. Continue to pray for those. Continue to pray for Brother Rick and Miss Pat, of course. Remember Brother Parks and Miss Lamonda. Brother Parks is having some, sort of like me, some pneumonia trouble. So do continue to pray for him. Brother Hunting, continue to pray for them. He's still not making great improvement, but I know God's able, so just continue to pray for him and his wife, of course. I found out Jonathan and Amy Knupp both have tested positive for COVID, so do pray for them. And then found out this morning, Brother Poplin, Miss Teresa had to take him to the hospital. He's going to give birth to a kidney stone just any day now, hopefully. Now, he was in a lot of pain this morning, so do pray for Brother Floyd. I've never had one. I hope never get one, but I hear they ain't no fun. So I know he's in a lot of pain, so do pray for him. And I hope you're praying for services today. First of all, you ought to ask the Lord what you need, because you can't do anything until you're right. And then pray for others also. So, all right, Brother Russell, you come.
He's all I need when I just need someone to talk to. He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call you. my every need. He will supply my thirsty soul. He satisfies. He's the Lord of all. And He's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary. He answers everything. Fills my deepest longings time and time.
Much as I need the air to breathe, I need Him even more this morning, and He's all that and more this morning. I hope you have a needy heart today. Sometimes we use God as that spare tire. You don't need that until you're troubled, do you? Sometimes you open that trunk up and spare tire's flat, ain't it? That's a terrible situation, ain't it? But I'm glad God's always on time. He's always faithful. So thank you. I love that song this morning. Take your Bible this morning to the book of John. The book of John, John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I hope you have your Bible. If you don't have a Bible with you, you can find one in the pew there. If nobody's moved it, there should be Bibles in every pew. We sure want you to follow along with us this morning. Don't take what the preacher says. Why? Preachers are liars. You're a liar, preacher. According to God, I am. God says all men are liars. That means you too. This book right here, there's not one possibility of a lie. It's perfect. It's pure. So that's what we want to see today. We want to see what the scriptures this morning. Luke chapter 10, if you found your place and you can, let's stand together this morning out of honor and reverence to the Word of God. He sure is worthy today. John chapter 10 this morning, and again, what a chapter. Chapter 10 is so full of so much, and so many things that we could look at, and we have looked at in our study. But I want to draw our mind to this one little thought here this morning. John chapter 10, let's begin reading in verse number 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Verse 7, Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. Verse 13, the hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even as know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. This is not what we're preaching this morning, but hallelujah for that verse. He came into his own received him not. But thank God he came after us. Amen. Oh, we're all going to be one day. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you once again for these words. God, so many things that I've read in these verses today that I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for being that shepherd. Thank you for being that shepherd that's willing to lay down his life and did lay down his life and took it back up again. God, thank you for the provisions of the shepherd. Thank you, Lord God, for the help and the needs that the shepherd gives the sheep. Lord, I'm thankful he knows me. And Lord, I'm thankful I know him. God, help us today as we try our best, God, just to be your mouthpiece. God, I know in myself I have nothing. But Lord, I know there's power in the Word of God. There's power through your Spirit today. And God, that's what we're asking today. God, for you to get all the glory for it. For it's in your precious name we pray and ask. Amen. You be seated this morning. And again, there are so many things that in this chapter alone that we can I hope, as I said there, even in just reading through it, there's so many things that flood my mind that the Lord shows us of who he is and what he's done and what he's going to do and how you and I this morning, if you're saved, and I sure hope you are, salvation is not baptism. Salvation is not church membership. Salvation is not of good works. Salvation is only one way. And God tells us here that he is that only door. And no person will come into that sheepfold. Nobody can come in any other way except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God, once we get in through the door, then God tells us that
we belong to Him and He belongs to us, and we can go in and out and find pasture. And in that also find help and find that help that gets us day by day. But in these verses this morning, He's speaking here to those Jews. And in these verses, Christ gives us a great comparison. And comparisons, there's a lot of different comparisons in the Word of God. And comparisons is one of those things that, you know, He wants us to understand. And in this parable and in these words that Christ speaks this morning, I've entitled the message today, The Good and the Bad. I was going to call it The Good, Bad, and the Ugly, but I couldn't figure out ugly in there. So I just stopped with Good and the Bad. The Good and the Bad. And this morning, as a child of God, I need to understand the good and the bad. This morning, if you're here with us and you're not saved, you're not born again, you need to understand the good and the bad. This morning, it takes both sides of those things. Anybody come in on a vehicle this morning? Did you drive here? You rode here? There's this thing under your hood, which sometimes they're under different places, but most batteries are under the hood. That's what makes your car get up and go. If your battery's no good, it ain't gonna crank. And a battery has two posts. Why? Because electricity works just that way. There is a positive. And boy, there's a lot of positives in these verses. But for that positive to really find the trueness of that positive, we need a negative for that current to flow. So that's what we want to look at this morning here, the good and the bad, that positive, that negative, that comparison that God gives us this morning. And I want us, of course, to see the good. And we could spend all morning looking at how good God really is here. How good this shepherd is to His children. All that Christ has and is going to do for us. But in that good, I want us to really look at the bad this morning. Because I really believe you'll never get saved until you see the bad. And we'll never really enjoy salvation, enjoy what Christ has done for us, if we don't understand the good. So we'll hit the good as we go, but I really want us to really concentrate on the bad. Look with me this morning. There's some key verses that I want us to see this morning. Look with me in verse number 8 this morning. The Lord here, as He tells us about Him being that good shepherd, He also tells us of a group of people that tried to do something different. And you know, that's really where a lot of people are today. A lot of people want to do it different. They want to do it their way. There's people in pulpits today saying something different. They're trying to build up a church. They're trying to build up a religion. And they're trying to change things to please man. But there's only one that's true, and that's God. And here this morning, as we find here in number 8, verse number 8 says, All that ever came before me, Christ. He says, all that ever came before me. Notice how He entitles these people, are thieves and robbers. Thieves and robbers. Now this morning, God uses that terminology there of a thief and a robber. What are thieves and robbers do? What do they do? They don't help you. We were robbed when we were building our house. Somebody broke into our house and stole all my tools. It's good to have good neighbors. That was the weirdest feeling that day. I was working third shift and building a house at the same time, and I went to sleep that morning, slept till about lunchtime, got up and went up there, and when I went to the carport door, I thought, that door is open. Just a little bit, and I thought, I must not have got it shut. Then I went down and I kept all my tools stuck up under the stairwell in the basement, so I went downstairs to start getting my tools together, and I walked down and I thought, somebody come and got my saw. So I go to my grandpa's. I thought, he's the only person I know that might have come and got it. Went over there and said, did you come and get that saw? And he said, no. Then it hit me. I've been robbed. Somebody come and took my stuff and made it their stuff. And God here tells us that these others, that's what they are. They're thieves and they rob. And my thought is where we're heading this morning is, now when they come to your house to rob you, they're not coming in to get your cans of beans, are they? They're not coming in to get your dirty laundry, are they? What does a thief come for? He wants the good stuff, don't he? He wants those jewels and that money and anything else he can get and sell it really quick. That's what he's after. Something that's valuable. Something that has some worth to it. And these are no different. These thieves and robbers. Look also in verse number 10 about these thieves and robbers that God is telling us about. Verse number 10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That is the intention of these thieves and robbers. That they will come in and they'll steal and they'll kill and they'll destroy. But thank God that verse didn't stop there. Jesus says, I'm come to do what? That they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. What a comparison. That thief, that robber wants to come and take something that doesn't belong to him. He wants to steal and kill and destroy. And Christ says, that's them, but here's me. I come not to steal, not to kill, and not to destroy. Jesus says, I've come that you can have life. Not physical life. Spiritual life. Eternal life. And the Lord says, not only do you get life, but Christ says, it's an abundant life. See, that thief, that robber, he takes away. But praise God, the day I got saved, I was added to the family of God. And I got all the benefits that come from having Christ in my life and being part of the family of God. And let me say this morning, it just gets better and better and better and better. And he keeps giving and giving and giving and giving. What a comparison. But I want us to think about who are these thieves and robbers? Now, when they broke into our house, you gotta love law enforcement. Sorry, Brother Mark. But I live out in the middle of nowhere. Some of you know where I live. We are as far north in Iredell County as you can go. If you call the law to our house, they'll probably not show up. If they show up, it'll be hours later. I called and said, hey, somebody robbed my house. Okay. Give me some information. You're not coming out here? No, we'll do it over the phone. That told me real quick. They don't care. I got a good idea. I mean, I don't have pictures and I don't have no fingerprints, but I have a good idea who stole my stuff. But here God says there's some people that are thieves and robbers. Now, most people take that and apply it to the devil. And I think there is application there, but that's not the context. We want to try to keep the Bible in the context. So who are these people? These are all the people before Christ that tried to climb in some other way into the sheepfold. These were priests. These were people of means. These were politicians. These were just other folks that would come in and say, hey, follow me and I'll get you something. And Christ says those are those thieves and robbers. But it wasn't just the ones that came before. Guess what? We still have them today. Those same people that are standing in a pulpit today across America that is preaching something different than the Word of God. Those are thieves and robbers. Oh, I like how Christ identifies that comparison once again. The Lord says, I'm the good shepherd. And I give my life for my sheep. They hear me. and follow me, and I know them. But God also tells us about these thieves and robbers. He uses a word there that, and I've asked God this myself sometimes, even in my own life. He calls them hirelings. You know what a hireling is? It's really simple. A hireling is somebody that's paid to do a job. You know, some of you are going to go out to lunch after a while, and there's going to be somebody in there that's paid to wait on you. Sometimes you get good ones. Sometimes you get pretty bad ones. Sometimes you don't get one at all. Now, I know, I've worked public work for many, 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 many years. And I know that crowd that just comes in to get their paycheck. They don't care. You know, if you're saved, that goes against what God says. Why? Because God says whatever I do, if I drink or whatever, I'm supposed to do for His glory. Do you work that way? Yeah, but you don't know who I work for. Ultimately, you work for the Lord. You mean when I'm down there at Freightliner, I'm supposed to be working for the Lord? Of course you are. You'd be amazed the testimony that you could have if you just work. I don't mean, and listen, I know a guy. I ain't going to name his name because some of y'all know him. I would name him anyway. This guy here took that totally out of context. Instead of doing his job, he was running people down and preaching to them in a hard way. He calls an offense to the gospel. My pastor gave me great advice years and years ago. When I go into work, he says, you work. Because if I don't do my work, I'm robbing them of what they've hired me to do. Yeah, preacher, but I'm supposed to be witnessing. Well, to be honest with you, if you're not working when you're supposed to be working, you're a bad witness. Come on. Well, preacher, they need to hear. Guess what? Your workplace, if it's like most workplaces, they give you 3 times a day to do just that. They give you a morning break, they give you a lunch, and they give you an afternoon break, and you can do whatever you want to do in that time. That's your time. And you can witness, you can talk. When I was in, worked at Freightliner, I was in Bible college. I took every opportunity at break, lunch, and afternoon break to study and to work on my homework for school. But you know, even that was a great witness. I had people come and say, what are you doing? And I say, well, I'm reading this in the Bible and I've got to write a paper on that. And they give me an opportunity to tell them something. So a hireling, God says, which is that thief and that robber, they've come to so-called be a shepherd. And their job is to take care of the sheep. But that hireling doesn't have the heart of the chief shepherd. That hireling, God tells us, is like a sheep in wolf's clothing almost. He doesn't care about the sheep. He doesn't care what's going on. He doesn't care if they're taken care of. But my shepherd does, the good shepherd. See, this hireling, it even says that when danger comes, instead of helping the sheep, they run. See, today, that's the two choices is in our day today. Oh, I'm thankful I have a good shepherd. Yes, sir. But it's sad to say today, there's many that are hirelings. Yes, I know many today, it sickens me, it does, that are pastors just because they're trying to get a paycheck. Yeah. You know, you work one day a week, don't do nothing the rest of the week, and they pay you for it. Yeah. There's a lot of them today. That's what they're there for. Now, maybe they started out right, but somewhere along the lines, they've got their heart changed. And there's many a hireling out there today. And I've prayed and I've asked God, if I ever get to the place that I'm a hireling, get rid of me. Because I don't want to be a hireling. I want to care. I'm not the shepherd. I have a chief shepherd. I'm just the under shepherd. I'm just the one that God's let me be part of this for just a little while to try to be His mouthpiece and His hands to try to help herd the sheep along the way. As much as my heart, I hope I have that shepherd attitude. I hope that my God knows that that's my desire and that's my purpose. I've used my grandpa many times, and I hope that as we've got to have some cows and stuff now, my grandpa taught me so much about being a shepherd. He'd walk that fence every day just to make sure that the fence was in good shape. That fence was a place of protection. It kept those cows where they needed to be. He'd walk and make sure there was none of them that were sick. He'd make sure that if there was one calving, that that baby would be fine. And he taught me so much in the spiritual realm of what a shepherd ought to have. But then there's other people that have animals that are hirelings. I'll never forget, we were, a buddy of mine years ago. Somebody rented their pastures out, sort of like the guy that rented our pastures out for their years. They didn't take care of their animals. They would have animals die and would lay there for days. That person I was talking about, we were out, it was deer season, we was out walking around in the woods, and it was in their pasture park, and we found a cow dead, standing up. Oddest thing I ever seen in my life. That cow had got down into the creek, and it got so marred up in the mud, it couldn't get itself out, and it died right there, struggling, trying to get up out of that mud. That's not much of a shepherd, is it? But I'm glad that my God would never do that. My shepherd would never do that. But there are hirelings that would do exactly that. So we have that great example here. And again, in context, these are people. These are men. These are things of the world that would try to steal you or kill you or destroy you. They're everywhere. There's one of them you see every day. That's you. I've seen so many people start out right with God, but they shot themselves in the foot. Don't be that way. Get in behind the shepherd. Let him be that good shepherd. Again, he describes these thieves and his robbers with three ways. First of all, he says these robbers will steal. That's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? It means to invade, to seize, to carry away another's property. That's what these so-called preachers, these so-called church members, these so-people, I love God people that really don't, they would like to steal what you've got. Why? Because they don't have it. They would like to steal yours. Now listen, we're going to look at two groups of people this morning. For the lost this morning, listen. Christ wants to be your shepherd. Christ wants to save you and bring you into that sheepfold. He wants to be that good shepherd to you. Oh, friend, this morning, to the lost, if you're here this morning, don't know the Lord. These thieves and robbers, they want to do everything they can do to steal every opportunity away from you ever knowing Christ. They want to kill anything that would ever come before you that would draw you to a place of conviction. They want to destroy you. They don't love you. They want to destroy you. Now for us that are saved this morning, we still have that thief and robber. Now if you're saved this morning, that thief and robber cannot steal my salvation. I have eternal life. No man can take that away from me. I am in the hand of God. I'm sealed until the day of redemption through Christ. So they can't, this thief and robber to me cannot steal my salvation. But there's some things he would like to steal. So to steal means to invade. Do you know this morning there's things trying to invade us right now? This world puts things in front of us to try to invade us. That to seize. They want to grab a hold of something in my life and take it away. That word kill. Now that word kill is not in the physical sense. These thieves and robbers is, and we're living in a bad day. I mean, if you check out Chicago, tomorrow morning they probably had 60 shootings in Chicago this weekend. They're killing people left and right. There's shootings and killings in Charlotte every day. People do kill to steal things physically. But that's not what God's talking about. God's talking something about a whole much more serious. Listen, your TV that you like, if somebody stole it, you could replace it. Your jewels that you like, if somebody stole them, you could replace them. God's talking about something that's irreplaceable. The love, the care that that shepherd does for the sheep. To kill is not physically, but spiritually. That word kill is in the sense of, if you go back in the Old Testament time, they would sacrifice, they would kill something to sacrifice unto God. Today, that thief and robber wants you to sacrifice yourself, not for God, but for them and for the things of this world and things for this flesh. That word destroy means to ruin. I've seen what religion does to people. I've seen what preachers have done to people. I've seen what hirelings do to people. They get such a bad taste because of church members or bad taste because of a preacher that it destroys them forever really wanting the true God that I serve. It means to ruin, to perish, to cast down, to pull down. It means to destroy utterly. See, that's exactly what that thief and robber wants to do. He wants to destroy anything in my life that would bring honor to God. Why? Because they want the honor. So, again, what do they want? To the lost this morning, they want to do everything they can to keep you from getting saved. They want to do everything they can to get you away from the true and living God. But I'm so thankful God said this. God said He's overcome the world. Oh, this morning, God is bigger, God is better, God is greater than any of these hirelings. So this morning, what would a thief and robber want from me? What could he take? What could he steal? What could he try to kill? What could he destroy? And I know our time's just about up. Let me give you these really, really quick. First of all, this morning, he'd like to steal or kill or destroy our faith. I know people today, I believe they're saved. At one time they truly loved God. But something, a hireling, something came and stole their faith. They no longer trust God. They no longer put their faith in that true and living God. The Bible says over in Hebrews chapter 4, without faith, it's impossible to please God. This morning, you really believe that He can? You really believe that He would? Or something robs you of your faith. Second of all, this morning, and I wish you had a little bit more time to go through these, but I want to hurry on and get them up done. First of all, they'd like to steal our faith. The second thing they'd like to steal is your relationship, or my relationship. They want to do anything they can to draw you away from walking with the Lord. They want to do everything they can to steal you or kill you or destroy you from the relationship that we have in Christ. Oh, I'm glad again He can't steal my salvation. Oh, but there's many today that have used to walk with God, that have turned their backs on God and went off into the world. What happened? Somebody robbed them. Somebody stole that from them. See, this morning, my wife, bless her heart, if she goes out to throw the scraps out, she locks the door. We've locked ourselves out of the house so many times. I was like, honey, you're just right there. I don't think you have to lock the door. Do you know what locks only do? Locks only keep the honest crook out. If somebody wants in your house, I don't care if you got every door in the house locked. They're going to get in. See, that throws me a warning today. I can't take for granted that just because I'm saved, that the thief and the robber is not there wanting to come into my life and steal my faith, steal my relationship. What about your joy? Well, I know a lot of people that used to have the joy of the Lord. Remember what David said over in Psalms 51? See, somebody stole David's joy. Do you know who it was? You know who stole David's joy? David. What do you mean, preacher? David, because he got away from looking at God to looking at a female. David took his eyes off of where they should have been and put them over here where they shouldn't have been. And it cost him greatly. And he cries out to God in Psalms 51, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Are you enjoying this trip? I've been on some trips before I didn't enjoy. I endured them, but I didn't enjoy them. You ever been on that kind of trip? I mean, we went on vacation and got COVID. What did y'all do on vacation? I didn't enjoy that trip at all. It cost me money, and I didn't enjoy anything about it. Are you enjoying the ride you've got in the Lord? Where's that joy? Man, you couldn't wait to come to church. You couldn't wait to pray, or you couldn't wait to read the Bible. It was such a joy. You had a glow about you because you were so in tune with our shepherd. Where's that joy at in your life? Who robbed you of that joy? Who stole that? Who killed that? Who destroyed that joy in your life? Our faith, our relationship, our joy, our peace. You know, when I got saved, roll back your mind a little bit when you got saved, if you're saved. You remember how, and I thank God, we don't have much of it anymore, but I thank God for conviction. I remember how convicted I was, and I knew if I didn't get saved, I was going to go to hell. And I didn't want to die and go to hell, and I cried out to a holy and a righteous God, and He saved me. I went to that altar in fear. I went to that altar, my heart was consumed. I got up off of that altar with a peace that passeth all understanding. I can't fully tell you, I can't fully give you what it really is, but I had something that was different. I didn't have a care anymore. All I knew is God did something for me that only He could do. And I was tired of trying to do it myself, and I gave myself to God, and God says, "I'll take that." And He saved me. That peace. Has somebody robbed you of that peace? Boy, today, if you hang out on the news, they'll rob you. They want you to be scared. They want you to fear. They want you to, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" Where's your peace? Preacher, what if this happens? God's still on the throne.
Yes.
But preacher, what about this? God's still taking care of me. Our peace. What about our purpose? Those thieves and robbers, they would love to steal my peace, but they'd also like to steal my purpose. What's your purpose? My purpose is the same as your purpose. That's to serve my God. Did somebody steal your purpose? What about yourself? Did you take that job that keeps you out of church? Did you take up a hobby that keeps you out of church? Keeps you away from the things of God? Your purpose? What about a testimony? Boy, that thief would love to steal my testimony. I appreciate Brother East. I haven't got to talk to you, but thank you for calling me the other day. And Brother East ran into a man that I used to work with, and he wanted him to tell me hello. I know exactly who he's talking to about. And I'm thankful I had a testimony that stuck in that man's heart about what I was and who I was. Boy, Brother East, it would have been bad if he told you how terrible I was. You wouldn't have much faith in your preacher much. But I'm thankful. I'm not patting me on the back. Because you've got a testimony. You've got the same thing that I've got. How do people know you? Has somebody stole your testimony? This morning, and I'm closing. We've been here since about 9 o'clock this morning. I might go home here in just a few minutes and find my house broken into. It could happen. It has happened. See, I'm at risk just like you're at risk. That thief, that robber. Oh, it could be Satan, because Satan don't want any of us to have any of those things either. He's walking around seeking whom he may devour. Oh, but there's a lot of other thieves and robbers out there that want to tickle your ears, make you feel good, pat you on the back and say, "Keep on keeping on." They don't care about you. They're trying to build something. They're trying to make themselves something. This morning we're all at risk. We need to guard ourselves. We need to make sure that we keep ourselves in tune with the shepherd. So when that thief and that robber comes, we're not taken unaware. You know, if I knew that tonight a robber was going to break into my house and steal my stuff, I would sit up waiting on him. He would find lead as our doorbell. He would. I ain't going to open the door and say, come on in, buddy, just don't break my door. You know what you want? Help yourself. No. I would do everything I could to prevent him. Some of you's got alarm systems. We got a new alarm system here at the church on Wednesday night. It's sad that we have to have an alarm system at church, but we do. Some of you's got alarm systems on your house. Why? You want somebody to know that if somebody's there that ain't supposed to be there. You're taking proactive, knowing that somebody might want to break into your house. But spiritually this morning, what are you doing? How proactive are you to make sure that when that thief, that robber that wants to steal, kill, and destroy, when they show up at your house, you got anything in place? Would you even see them coming? Remember? That hireling was like a sheep in wolf's clothing. Oh, he looked good. He sounded good. He made me feel good. But the whole time he was there to destroy and kill you. See, we're at risk this morning. Just because you're saved doesn't mean the robber don't want to come and take you. Again, he can't have my salvation. I'm glad God's taking care of all that. But I sure would hate to lose my testimony, Brother Rick. We hear it all the time. It's getting to be more and more, right? If you keep up with things in the spiritual realm, it's getting more and more preachers that are doing things ungodly. And they're being caught. And their testimony is shot. But not just preachers. A lot of saved people. We're at risk. You need to guard yourself. You need to stay close to the shepherd, because that chief shepherd, when he sees the wolf coming, he'll take care of him. So you better stay close to the shepherd. Again, the thief and the robber comes to get things that are valuable. Is your testimony valuable? Is your relationship valuable? Is your walk with God, is your prayer life, your Bible life, is that important to you? If it's not important, you wouldn't care if a robber got it. But this morning, God gives us a great comparison here in John chapter 10. The good. Oh, I'm so thankful for my good shepherd. All that he's done for me. He laid down his life that this sheep could live. Amen. But see, there's a bad. And it's out there doing the same things it's always done. If you're here this morning, you surely don't know the Lord. Right now, you know what he's trying to do? I've seen it happen so many times in church. Somebody, I can see the conviction in their lives. They'll stand there during the invitation holding on because they sure don't want to let go. That thief and robber is trying to steal that away. You know what helps? Listen, did you know that many of us, are guilty of helping that thief? You're an accessory to the crime. Preacher, I wouldn't do that. Let me give you a quick example. We're going to have invitation here in a moment. As soon as I say that, some of you are going to get up and go out the door. See, you're helping the thief. Because that person that's under conviction, that person that's really got something from God this morning, they see you move out. So they don't move up. I'm gonna give that invitation here in a minute. Zip, zip, zip. Everybody's Bible zippers are gonna start zipping. Okay, we're done. Let's go eat. Oh, you ought to be begging God. Why? Because I don't want that thief to rob somebody of the greatest thing they could ever have. God uses, or God, the devil, that thief, that robber, this world. You know, one of his greatest tools in church? We don't have many in here this morning because they're in nursery and everything. I've seen it happen so many times. That youngin will be good all service long, but as soon as the invitation gets everybody out of, does. That's not a coincidence. That's the thief. That's the robber. You got your cell phone turned off? How many times has that thief and robber called your cell phone? Listen, I hope, now this happened to me, I don't carry my phone up here, but I went back there and somebody's called me at 11:30. I was thinking, where did you think I was going to be today at 11:30? I hope people I know say, oh, I can't call him, he's at church. That's pretty good testimony, I think. But all of a sudden, somebody's cell phone goes off. Everybody in mind loses from what God was doing to that cell phone. Those are accessories to the crime. I don't want to help the devil. I don't want to help that thief and that robber. But this morning, we ought to be begging God. Listen, it's not just about lost people. If you're saved this morning, hallelujah, thank God for it. But they want to rob that from you, too. They want to rob that peace, that joy. All those things. And this morning, that could happen. Well, the preacher didn't shake my hand. I ain't shook nobody's hands in weeks. But people get bent out of shape. Well, they got their own toilet paper in the bathroom. Crazy stuff. You going to allow little things like that to rob you? Some of the biggest fights I've ever seen in people are some of the craziest, stupid things. Oh, Si, I'm sorry. If I say stupid, Si says, don't say that. So I shouldn't say that. It's in my brain. It's in my vocabulary. This morning, I would hate to know that you got robbed. Really would. Physically, but more than that, spiritually. Let's stand together this morning. Thank you for being here. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed this morning. Nobody's looking around. It's just me and God this morning. I want to help you. Listen, was there a period of time in your life that you sure were closer to the shepherd than you are now? I think we can all say that. Listen, just because that thief might have robbed something out of your life spiritually, can I tell you this morning God's able? He's greater. This morning, let's get right. Let's get that joy back in our heart. Let's get that peace. Let's get that relationship back to the place where we're so in tune with our good shepherd this morning. This morning, the thief's walking around. He's trying to rob you. He wants to steal. He wants to kill. Listen, I got grandbabies that I want to see them get saved one day. I'd hate to let myself go to the place where that devil, this world, would rob me, that my grandbabies might not get saved one day. This morning, think about a thief. Think about that robber. Don't let him in. There's folks in the altar this morning. If you need to come, you come. If you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord, don't let that thief and robber keep you from getting saved. Don't listen to him. Listen, let me tell you, there's a God in heaven that loves you. He died for you. He wants to be your good shepherd and meet every one of your needs. What about you this morning? If you will sing a verse this morning, if you need to come, friend, why don't you come do business with the Lord?
I've wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home.
Remember that prodigal son? He took all that he had from the Father and went out to the world.
worth every bit of it. Don't go that way.
Too long I've tried.
What you've gotten, God, is so precious.
Lord, I'm coming home.
This world don't want you to serve God. This world don't want you to be excited about
coming
God.
Coming home. Coming home.
Folks are praying. Maybe this is for you this morning.
I've waited.
Well, I've wasted a lot.
Many precious years. But now I'm coming home.
That cell phone, that laptop, boy, that thing will rob you. You'll start playing around on that thing, and
with
hours will go by, and you start that thing. You click a button,
Lord, I'm coming home.
Oh, this morning, let's let God be my shepherd.
Coming home, coming home, never more to
morning, the good and the bad. I'm glad good always outweighs bad. God's good to us. He really is. Hope you have a good afternoon. Hope you'll be back with us tonight. 5:45, men's prayer room. Service will be at 6 tonight. Hope you'll come on back with us. We're going to be looking at the book of Luke. It's something that it excites me when I think about it. So I hope it'll excite you if you'll be back with us tonight. Just come on with you. Bring somebody with you. Pray for us. Lord, just give us a good night tonight. Appreciate what the Lord did today thus far. So be safe going home. Anything else? Okay. Brother John Spade, will you dismiss us?